Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 8, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Please heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. If you're a Christian, you need to act like a Christian and think like a Christian with a biblical world. Please make the choice to be right tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. Now, you can always find updates to the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all of our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which simulcast live on net internationally. It's on some yet. On some FMs, live on YouTube, and so pray about supporting airtime. Airtime costs. I sell nothing. The ministry sells nothing on this program. We don't sell anything, so we're only on air by your donations. Let's thank our listener base from worldwide places like Frankfurt, Germany, Manila, Philippines, Bengaluru, India, São Paulo, Brazil, and, of course, cities in all the United States such as Arlington, Texas, St. Paul, Minnesota, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Kansas City, Missouri, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners, except sometimes are bumped off when it goes bumped off by Washington, D.C., but the largest group of listeners when they go to podcast later on tonight. Follow and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll get into tonight's program. I'm sure there's some things that in this program tonight, you're really going to want to hear. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I ask that you please bless this program tonight, and I pray radio goes according to your will and not our will, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Tonight, we were supposed to have Pastor Carl on, and I'm not quite sure if we got him yet. Have we picked you up yet, Carl?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor Dan. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, great. Let me go ahead and give you a lead in. Anyway, so Pastor Carl did make it. Yay, it's that time of the month for Carl. I almost thought the devil was going to try and keep him away. You know how that old devil is. Anyway, Pastor Carl, he's a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host, and he's heard nationally and internationally. Yeah, when we can get him on right. Yeah. Anyway, TV and radio guest commentator. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, which gives him a really good insight into a lot of the work he does, especially when he writes books. Anyway, he's the founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He has a program called Freedom Friday, and I've never even brought that up to him before. I'm going to ask him about it tonight. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. He's written 6 books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, and his latest, Gods of Ground Zero. So, welcome, Pastor Carl. I'm glad we finally got you on.
Yes, Pastor Dan. It's good to be with you. Sorry about the mess up there. We were trying to get hooked up on Skype, and it just didn't work. And I've used it all day today, so I don't know what's going on. But anyway, it's good to be with you, man.
Yeah, amen. And I'm not sure on the Skype end. Frank handles that over there in Oregon. I'm in Kansas, but we used it earlier today, and it was working fine. So you just never know. about Skype.
Yeah.
Well, lots of things I want to talk to you about, but before I ask you about the elections, I am serious. I want to ask you about that. I don't think I've ever asked you to explain to folks what Freedom Friday Radio is. Tell them, please.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I appreciate it. Listen, I've been doing that for 17 years, and it airs over 1330 AM and 99.1 FM down here on the Gulf Coast simulcast station. And it's a 25,000-watt station. It broadcasts to portions of four states on the Gulf Coast just by radio. But we've been live streaming ever since live stream was available, and smartphone and podcasting and all of that with it. So we've, over the years, built up a very large international audience in the same way that you have. But we broadcast right over a live radio station down here on the Gulf Coast. It's every Friday, and it's from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we deal with the geopolitical happenings of the world. We keep up with all the latest news that the mainstream won't cover, and even a lot of the alternative won't cover. And plus, we put biblical insight and even prophetic insight in. I have some interesting guests on, and it's we've got a big loyal listening base. It's a lot of fun. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, amen. Well, because I've seen that go by a bunch of times, and it dawned on me when I was listening to one of your guests that you had on the other day. That's up there on your website, folks. It's on his website. And I thought, well, that's really interesting, and I couldn't remember to the life of me if I ever had you explain what Freedom Friday was. So,
I appreciate it. And let me just tell your audience, if they ever want to listen or go back and listen to archive shows and podcasts, they can just go to my website, my name, carlgallops.com, and right under my picture, they'll see the links. It's very easy, and it'll take you right to the main website for Freedom Friday, and everything's right there. It's self-explanatory and highly interactive, and the shows are right there as well.
Yeah, amen. And I really appreciate that, and you really got your work cut out for you. I caught part of what you said, where you covered the things the mainstream media doesn't. Well, that's just about everything.
Yeah, really. Well, for example, this is just one example, but, of course, I've been deeply connected with Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zullo in the Obama fraud case, and so we've covered that for years, I mean, in great detail. In fact, Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zullo actually preferred to come on my show as much or more than anyone else's because we would deal with it. We would deal with it in detail, and we have a large audience. So that's just one example. But that's not the only thing we talk about. We talk about everything. Right now, we're talking about the elections. We dealt with all the Kavanaugh stuff, and plus we just deal with the latest technology and how that connects to the Word of God, and we have experts on. So anyway, I think it's a good show. People enjoy it. I enjoy doing it.
Well, amen. And I'm pleased to be able to point the folks over there because, you know, I have an audience, you know, that has specifically told me, well, Pastor Dan, I've been listening to you for a very long time, but I really like to listen to you when you had Pastor Carl on.
Oh,
and
so,
well, amen. And so it's a blessing to point him over there. And, you know, that's what I've always been about, even from the very first, when I first started doing radio back in 2002. A lot of people were doing programs, but they were kind of reluctant to point people to other people, you know what I'm saying? They'd even have them on and not give out their information. I've never been about that. I want to point out the good books and the good stations and all those things because I'm only on once a week. So, you know, we need that.
Yeah,
but anyways.
No, I appreciate it. No, I do the same thing with my show, brother. And our hearts are the same in so many ways, aren't they? We've been together now for years because of your graciousness.
Yeah.
I'd love to have you on my show, too. I wish you'd come on with me.
Well, I'd like to sometime. I'll take that as an invitation, and I'll talk to you about it.
Well, of course.
I'd
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, you've always got an open invitation to come on my show, brother. You know that. But anyway.
I know. And you said that to me before. And, you know, I've been reluctant over the years to really go on other people's programs, but I'm so comfortable with you, it'd be a walk in the park.
Yeah, it would be, and we'd have a good time, and my audience would enjoy you, and plus it would help even pick up more listeners for you because I've got a great audience, and some of them know you because I do talk about you on my show, especially after I've been on your show, but we get new listeners all the time. So you need to come on there. We can talk about things going on in the world and really pump your show up to people.
Okay, well, I'll take that as an invitation. Okay, yeah. Now then, oh boy, everybody's talking about it, but I, you know, as normal, I always, you know, you seem to pop up right when things happen, but what do you think about this election?
Well, listen, I would thank you. I'm so glad you asked me that. I had no idea that that's where you might be going, but I do appreciate you asking me that. Let me, if you don't mind, let me take a few moments and unpack this. And, of course, you just jump in. It's your show. But until I hear you jump in, I'm just going to talk a little bit about it because there's some good and some bad. And the good outweighs the bad about everything that's going on. And I promise you, as you hear me, I'm not just trying to put lipstick on a pig, okay? I'm not just trying to paint a pretty picture and spin this in a positive manner so we can all feel better. So let me just break this down. Here's what I've said on several interviews today. First of all, I wish, you wish, I'm sure most of your audience wishes, that we would have retained the House, we would have gained many more in the Senate, and all across the land we would have had more what we would think of as conservative governors and representatives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, nowadays it's hard to tell. I mean, if you've got a D beside your name, it's almost a given that you're extremely left-wing, even to the point of socialist or communist and America-hating. Now, not all Democrats are. But, you know, people that are constitutional Republicans, and I mean a constitutional republic, I don't mean a Republican by party, but those of us that love a constitutional republic and rule of law and strong borders and a strong military, et cetera, we tend now to have to vote more towards people with an R beside their name. But we also, those of us that are smart, we realize that just because you have an R beside your name, you know, you could wind up being a John McCain, bless his soul, rest his soul, and a Lindsey Graham until the Kavanaugh hearing, and all of these different people that had Republican, but they were just rhinos. And then, of course, we've watched the establishment in Washington, D.C. Some of them, I believe, are connected to the deep state, either that or they have been compromised by the deep state spying. They've got R's beside their name. Jeff Sessions is one, okay? Jeff Sessions was Attorney General. Everybody thought he was the epitome of conservatism, and then look what a mess he made of the DOJ, and, of course, he's out now. So the bottom line is we would have hoped we would have had more R's that went in, especially that we would not have lost the House. But here's the deal. Well, before I get to the good stuff, let me just say, not only that, but, of course, now we've got to put up with the likes of Pelosi and Schumer and all of these people. I mean, I can't believe that Nancy Pelosi might be the Speaker of the House again. And even if she's not, she'll be running that flap every single day, along with Pocahontas and Maxine Waters and all those people. So anyway, that's the bad part of it. And the other part is that, and this starts sliding into the good, but the other part of it is, Dan, the way I see it, they're already talking about we're going to impeach Kavanaugh, we're going to impeach Trump. Well, I know you and your audience know this, but let me just say it in case you have newer listeners that don't know this. First of all, we've only impeached two presidents in history. One of them was Bill Clinton, and let me see, I can't even remember the other two right now. But Bill Clinton, Richard Nixon. And then there was another one. I think it was I can't remember. I'll look it up in a moment. I had it right on the tip of my tongue. So there's three, but two of them, other than Richard Nixon, the Senate did not approve the impeachment, because the way impeachment works is that the House serves as kind of the prosecutor. They're the ones that get to bring the impeachment charges. But the problem is it's the Senate that acts as the jury and the judge. And this is all by Article 2 of the Constitution. So you cannot impeach a sitting president or any other government official without having the House bring the charges. See, the Senate cannot bring the charges. If your audience will just think of it like in your own state or county, you've got a prosecutor that brings the charges. then you have a judge and or a jury that determines, that adjudicates the case. A judge can't bring charges, and neither can a jury. And neither can the prosecutor adjudicate the case and put somebody in jail, in prison for the rest of their life. So that's how it works. It's set up like that. So now the House has a majority, so they can bring the charges, but it'll be really hard, I think, for them to get the Senate to go along with impeaching Kavanaugh and or Donald Trump, unless the only, you know, fly in the ointment is if they truly have hardcore forensic evidence that
right.
Kavanaugh did what he was accused of doing, or lied, just blatantly lied to Congress, or if they can prove that they've got hardcore forensic evidence that Donald Trump actually did collude with the Russians and stole the election and bribed officials. And I mean, those are the only kinds of things that you can impeach a president. It's committing illegal acts, bribery, treason, collusion with foreign powers, etc. So there's been no proof of any of that after 2 years of the Mueller investigation. And then, of course, all the Senate hearings with Kavanaugh, they couldn't bring any evidence. After seven FBI investigations, they finally said, look, there's just nothing here. There's nothing here. So all of this talk about impeachment, I hate it for our nation. I hate it for Kavanaugh, and I hate it for Trump. However, the thing is, I think if they do it, I think it will destroy the Democrats in the 2020 election, because
right.
there is a psychology that goes along with this. For example, the House, under Republicans in the Clinton years, they impeached Clinton. The problem was the Senate refused to adjudicate it, and Clinton's poll numbers went up. And the Republicans that were involved in impeaching him, they went down, because there's a psychology in America, Pastor Dan, that, okay, if our leaders really, really did something totally outrageously illegal, treasonous, et cetera, then we want to deal with it. But if it looks like a political witch hunt at all, mainly, of course, by Republicans, but even mm-hmm. quite a few Democrats feel this way, they will not tolerate that at the polls. And so that's kind of, you know, here's where we are. So all of that can happen. Now, let's slide into the good. The good is, and again, I'm not just painting a pretty picture. This is the historical truth. This last midterm election, just a couple nights ago, had historic results for our favor, even though we wish we could have gained the House. But historically, we whatever party is in power, the other party during the midterms gains power in one or both of the houses of Congress, either the House of Representatives or the Senate. I mean, historically. And
right.
that happened with George Bush. It happened with Clinton. It happened with the Bush before that. It happened with Obama. And it happened in much larger numbers than happened, you know, two nights ago.
Right.
And so that was the result of America still standing behind Trump largely, and the result of Trump getting out and doing all of that campaigning. So a lot of people, you know, were really upset. They were looking for a red wave, tidal wave that was just going to sweep the House and the Senate again. That would have been wonderful. But most of us who've been paying attention to this stuff for decades kind of doubted that would happen. So
right.
the fact that the House took more seats and is now the majority should not be a shock or a heartbreak to anybody, because that's what historically happens. But the deal is they didn't win near as many as all of the administrations before us that I just named. So
let me throw this in. You know, a lot of people don't realize. They say, oh, they're going to take the guns away. They're going to do all these different things. People seem to forget that it's got to be a law may start in the House, but it has to go to the Senate, and then they both have to agree on it, and the president has to sign it. So really, they don't have a lot they can do except the investigations. They can drive us crazy with those, but actually passing any laws, that would be really, really hard. And right now, just about any laws that get or things that get passed, the president uses, you know, executive orders. Worst case scenario is maybe as it goes to the Supreme Court. And I don't look for Trump to do something that would be illegal. What do you think?
Yeah, no, no, you're absolutely right. And so as we keep thinking about, you know, the good things that are still in place, let me just remind your audience, first of all, when I say we, now I'm not saying we're all Trump lovers or we're all hardcore Republicans. When I say we, I'm going to include the bulk of your audience and you and me in this group of people that just love America. We love our Constitution. We love the rule of law. We love our military. We love our police. We want a strong economy. We want a strong military. We want strong protected borders. We want legal immigration, but we do not want open borders, et cetera, et cetera. So when I say we, okay, so we still have the presidency. We still have the Senate. That's huge because with the Senate, we can get federal judges continually put into the bench. Now,
okay, we're going to have to stop, Carl. Even though we got started a little late, I got a break for, you know, radio things, you know.
Yeah.
So just tell them, Pastor Carl, or, you know, tell them how to find your site, and we'll go to break, and we'll come right back and talk.
Okay, good, because I got some really cool stuff to say. But anyway, yeah, just find my site with myname.com, carlgallups.com, carlgallups.com. Thanks, Pastor Dan.
Okay, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy on an American Voice Radio Network. And, folks, we are talking with Pastor Carl Gallup. Yeah, it's time in a month to talk to him. And I know we normally talk about the Mission Church, and I know some of you folks are curious about what we need for Thanksgiving. But you know what? I'm going to put that off to the end of the program because I'm just dying to get back and talk with him about a few things. And, by the way, folks, that's carlgallup.com. CarlGallups.com, not myname.com. Anyway, are you there, Carl?
Here, brother. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, anyway, we were just talking about the election and the aftermath of it. And I'm not quite sure where we left off at, but I figured you would be. You're like you got like this mental bookmark or you got sticky notes on your computer or something.
No.
Because you always never lose your place back to you.
Well, thank you, brother. No, I don't have sticky notes. The Lord's blessed me with that ability, the mental sticky notes. But listen to me, I'm going to pick right up where we left off. But before I do, I did stop and look up. The only two presidents that have ever been impeached were Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. So in both of those cases, the House brought impeachment charges, but in both cases, the Senate acquitted them and refused to impeach them all the way out of office or with any kind of criminal charges. So there's never been an impeachment that went all the way through and stuck. The closest we came was Richard Nixon, but there was so much hardcore evidence of criminal activity that before they could even impeach him, he resigned because he knew that was just – he was going
right.
to be impeached. So I'm just saying that even though they took the House, they still don't have the Senate, they don't have the courts, and they don't have the presidency, and I don't think they're going to have the heart and soul of all of America to impeach Donald Trump or even Judge Kavanaugh without some hardcore Richard Nixon-style evidence. And as far as I know, and as far as we all know, none of that has ever been presented or come forward. And especially with the Mueller investigation, we know that if they had that kind of evidence, that would have already been brought forward. So I'm just saying, you know, people, you know, conservatives need to just chill just a little bit. Let the Democrats politically hang themselves. That's what's going to happen. And even if they did manage to bring impeachment charges in the House, the chances of the Senate passing it are very slim. It's never been done in our history. And when the charges were brought against Bill Clinton, his poll ratings went up, and the people that brought the charges went down. So now I left off by saying that the good thing is we still have the presidency and we have the Senate, and the Senate is where federal appointments are made to the judiciary branch and to other branches like the new DOJ, et cetera, cabinet appointments, et cetera. So the fact is, just today, Ruth Ginsburg went in the hospital with three broken ribs. She's in her mid-80s. She's in tough shape. Now, please hear me. I'm a pastor. I do not wish ill upon Ruth Ginsburg. I do not. I'm just stating the obvious. She's becoming elderly. Now she's fallen. Now she's broken ribs. I pray that she doesn't lose her life over this, like I've seen so many elderly people when these kinds of things happen. But I do pray that somehow she is forced to step down, or she's convinced she needs to step down, or she just understands that she can't keep going. If that's the case, think of it, brother. In the days of George Bush, in the days of Bill Clinton, in the days of Barack Obama, all three of those presidencies, they had eight-year terms. And in all three, in 8 years, each one of them only got to appoint two Supreme Court justices in 8 years. So in 24 years, out of all three of those, each one only got to appoint two. Donald Trump, in less than 2 years, has already put two judges on the Supreme Court, and if Ginsburg can't go back in, he'll put his third one on before his next 2 years are even up. And if he wins again in 2020, he'll have four more years. Brother, this is huge. This is huge.
Yeah.
The other thing is that by the time we get to 2020, if the Democrats keep going this hard left and they're trying to pass gun laws and they're trying to impeach judges and the president and they're trying to get rid of ICE and open the borders, and Trump's not going to let that happen, and neither is the Senate and neither are the conservative courts. But if the Republicans keep doing that, they're going to lose the House in 2020, and they're going to lose the presidency, and they're going to lose the Senate. So, you know, I'm just saying, look, I wish we could have kept the House. But that would have just been a historical milestone if we had done that. I didn't really think it was going to happen, and it didn't. But here we are. We're still in a very good position, and everything I have said is historically accurate. I'm not just trying to put a positive spin on it. And the other thing I want to remind our listeners of, and this is the next to the bottom line, and then I'll give the bottom line, and all of this will take less than 3 minutes. The next to the bottom line is this. We suffered through 8 years of Obama. I mean, liberal judges, fake media, deep state, CIA, FBI, infiltrated, people being spied on, congressmen and judges being compromised. I mean, but we made it. We made it to the other side, and now we're breathing a little bit. We also dodged the bullet of Hillary Clinton and her continuing the Obama legacy and sinking this nation once and for all. So all hope is not gone. We are politically speaking, we are fine. It's just going to be some hard work for the next couple of years, and we're going to have to get out and vote, and we're going to have to be the salt and be the light and stay involved and stay educated for the next couple of years, and we need to keep going. We need to pray for our leaders, our president especially, and those that are around him, pray for his safety and his health, et cetera, and wisdom and discernment, and pray for our nation. And that's the next to the bottom line. But here's the bottom line, brother. this is all in the Lord's hands. It's all in the Lord's hands. It's going to be what it's going to be, but in the meantime, he has called us to be the salt and the light, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, to be ambassadors of the kingdom of Christ. We were raised up for such a time as this, to live in these days, and the kingdom of heaven is counting upon us. And so that's the way I look at all of this. I don't know if you agree with everything I said. It's your show, so you can certainly disagree or challenge me or ask questions, but that's kind of my take on it, brother.
Okay, folks, we can just wipe out everything Carl said. No, absolutely. I'm in agreement with you. And there's a few little things that I'm going to comment on. And number one is the Democrats, I think, I think they're going to implode and destroy themselves. For one, take note. Now, I can't remember her name, Cortez or something like that, that really radical young lady. She was elected to the House.
Yeah.
And then you had two Muslims that are elected to the House. Now, you know, one thing that I will say about the Democrats that they seem to be able to do is when they decide on something, they would almost go lockstep together and, you know, stick together on things. But I don't see how in any way, shape, or form that the Democrats will be able to control these three individuals, let alone some of the other folks. I think that they're going to have a lot of conflict within their own party right there in the House.
Yes.
And two, you know, if they do keep pursuing all these things, you know, Pelosi, I don't know if you listen, and I'm like you or anybody, I really have a hard time listening to her, period. I actually thought I didn't have to hear her again. But I did listen to her recently, I think yesterday. And she's talking about how, oh, they're going to be civil all of a sudden and all these things. And there's no way they're going to do those things.
Yeah.
I don't think that they can keep their party in any kind of line to really do anything because they're just going to be all over the page. And it's like this. I do believe there's still some good Democrats out there.
Yeah.
While they do go along with their party, I don't believe that they will – all of them will go for all these crazy things. And Pelosi just told the people, oh, we're going to try and pass all these things. They're not going to pass anything. So whatever happens for the next year is going to fall on them. I think this made it, and this may be why the father allowed this to happen, so that when 2020, he knows that we need to fight a little bit harder because I saw a lot of people, I know a lot of people that got relaxed after Donald Trump won. You can't relax. That's what I've been putting forward. You can't relax. You got to keep praying, number one. You got to keep praying. And then you've got to vote to keep this man in office because you just can't sit there. It's up to us. We got an opportunity from the Father. And if we don't continue on, you know what I'm saying, do our part, just like faith. I believe faith's an action word. You told me you believe something, you've got to get up and move on your faith. That's kind of where I'm at with that, Carl.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. Well, no, you're right, and you covered a lot of ground there, brother. So let me back up and just say where you started. Her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's from the 14th Congressional District of New York. And, yeah, you're right. Listen, she is far left, hard left. And there are others that are hard, far left, Nancy Pelosi, et cetera. But as you said, there are some that are not. And listen, think about the Kavanaugh hearings. There was a Democrat that voted for Kavanaugh. He broke from his party. And I think he had a lot of courage. And there may be others that will do similar things when what is right and it's right before their eyes. But the problem is, by and large, the Democrat Party has been hijacked. It's just, it's horrible. It's like the Muslim faith, you know. I mean, there are Muslims born and raised in America that love America. They don't want to destroy it. I go to big cities all the time, and I'm in and out of conferences mm-hmm. and media and television shows, and I'm at the airports, and I meet a lot of Muslim immigrants or people who are born and raised here. you know, who are working in the service industry and beyond, but I'm just saying I run across a lot of service industry people, you know, taxis and shuttles and restaurant workers and hotel workers, and I get involved in conversations with these folks that are from here or immigrated here decades ago. I have yet to find one, and I don't tell them who I am, and I don't come across as some conservative crazy nut. I just talk to them and kind of try to bait them a little bit just to see what they'll say. And to a T, so far, all of those kinds of Muslims, they say, look, man, we don't like all this stuff that's going on. We want our borders guarded. We want legal immigration. We don't want the terrorists amongst us. We have children. My kids are in college. My kids are in school. We want the same things every other American wants. The problem is that Islam has been hijacked by ISIS and the radical extremists, and the same thing has happened to the Democrat Party. So you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of infighting, a lot of pushing. They've got a hard left base. George Soros is a part of all of that. The international community is a part of that. The United Nations is involved in this junk. The European nations and alignments are involved in a lot of the internal attacks in America and upon our more liberal political side. And I think a lot of that is going to blow up in their face because there are Democrats. People who are Democrats who want the borders safe, they do not want 14,000 illegals coming across the border and coming into their neighborhoods. I guarantee you they don't want it. They don't want it either. They want their children protected. They want their retirement programs protected and not drained off by millions of illegals. So I really think this hard left wing of the Democrat Party is going to just clash with all of the Republican Party pretty much, and even some of their own. And I think they're going to self-destruct a little bit here in the next 2 years. I could be wrong, but we'll see.
Yeah, I pretty much think this just made the 2020 election for Trump. But let's go with this. Same subject, kind of a little different subject. Sessions, you know, he was asked to resign. He resigned. And, you know, let's go with this. I really thought a lot. You know, I looked him up. I followed him up, and I thought, well, this is going to be a really great attorney general. And it seems like, you know, I don't know what happened. But having said that, there's a lot of things, whether it's people that should have been prosecuted that broke laws about with violence in protest or talking about wanting this person dead or the president dead or these other people that I believe should have been prosecuted. And I don't know where Sessions is at in this. I'm praying. And what do you think? Do you think we're maybe going to see some prosecutions finally of even maybe into the Russian thing? Go ahead.
Well, I know that President Trump has not necessarily promised prosecutions, but he has promised to start opening up with this new Department of Justice a lot of the information that Sessions had locked down, because Trump knows a lot of that information, and it's very, very condemning to the Democrats. He knows a lot of the investigative material that they have on Fusion GPS, on the Trump dossier, on the FISA warrant, fake FISA warrant, and that he knows a lot of the information they have on Hillary Clinton and the email scandal and the Benghazi scandal and the IRS scandal. See, they've got that stuff. But the deep state has been locking it down, and this is one of the reasons why the deep state and the leftists are going apoplectic over Jeff Sessions. They're attacking Trump. Now, see, this ought to be a hint to us. The liberals are defending Jeff Sessions with blood. I mean, they're literally threatening blood over this.
Right.
And Jeff Sessions is letting them do it. Now, that tells me a lot, brother. That tells me a lot. In other words, the liberals, he is the darling of the liberals. If it wasn't for him stepping down, this Mueller investigation might not have ever happened. But see, the guy that's acting now, Whitaker, he is pro-Trump. He is anti-Mueller investigation. He has gone on record saying it. And just today, between President Trump's office and the Department of Justice, and Whitaker signed it, a don't have it in front of me because I didn't know we were going to go here. So your folks will have to look it up. But a Department of Justice order, I don't know if it's an executive order or a decree from the DOJ, but just today they said they were shutting down the sanctuary laws for illegal immigrants for the time being. They were shutting it down. And the president has the power to do that. And other presidents in the past have done that, Democrats. But the Democrats of today, they think that Trump just lost his mind and is destroying America, when, as a matter of fact, he and the brand-new DOJ, the one-day-old DOJ, are finally doing the right thing to protect us. So I think we're going to see some things happen that are going to be amazing. I think Jeff Sessions was either deep state or he is compromised. He was spied upon, and they found something ugly about him, and they blackmailed him with it. Or he just did not have the character that we thought he did, and he was so politically correct that he wound up being frozen in office. But I'm glad he's gone. That's all I can say. I don't know the man. I don't hate him personally. I don't hold any animosity. He just did a terrible job, and I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, amen. My thought, you know, I don't think bad of people, you know, that I can't prove, you know what I'm saying? I thought, you know, I was really surprised in his behavior. But I kind of, you know, I'm kind of willing to think with me is that I believe that the having something on him, and I don't necessarily mean him, but the NSA, they've got everything just about. And so my thought is maybe somebody in his family that he cares about, you know, not him, but maybe somebody in his family to say, well, hey, we're going to expose your cousin or your aunt or your uncle. You know what I'm saying? And so instead he just kept shut because this sure doesn't seem like the character of the man that we all that most of all was thought. I mean, everybody liked him at first. You know,
but I
am glad he's gone. We'll see where this goes. I think we're going to see some things. Anyway, I pray so. Well, Carl, you know, I'll take a couple of minutes and tell us how that the latest book is, and because I'll have to let you out a couple of minutes early so I can do a little plug about Thanksgiving. You know, you're going to do Thanksgiving, aren't you, Carl?
Yeah. What was the last thing you just said? I heard everything. I
said do a plug about your book. How is God's Grandeur doing?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's doing very well. The Lord is really using it and blessing it. I'm so grateful to the Lord, and I'm grateful to your listeners for buying it and reading it and commenting on it. And I would encourage them, if they read it and liked it, to please leave a nice review at Amazon. That would help to spread the word. But I teach this everywhere I go. I've done some conferences recently, and I taught the foundational elements of the book, and the people just went crazy over it, and they just, you know, flooded me afterwards with questions. And I really bet so.
I don't like to interrupt you, but I really bet they did, because it's for you know, some of, it's kind of explosive, for most people that went into Christianity, what you revealed is really explosive, Carl, if you didn't have it. And the book doesn't, on the outside cover or any other thing, doesn't let you in on what that explosive thing is going to be. Fantastic book, Carl. Very good. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Well, you know, you've read my last several books, and you know that I like to think outside the box as long as we stay inside the scriptures, and I don't pull stuff out of my back pocket. When I expose stuff that's been in the scriptures all along, I back it up with dozens of renowned scholars that see the same thing. I back it up with deep word studies of the Hebrew and the Greek to prove my point. And once people make those connections and they connect the dots, they come away saying, wow, this changes the way I see a lot of passages in the scripture now. Now I get it. Now I see the depth of what's really going on.
Right. Yeah, amen. And it really does. And, I like your methodology because, you know, you don't just give your side of it.
Right.
You give the both sides of it. And that's how I am. You know, I'm the kind of guy, Carl, that if I find something that you know, is different than what everybody else, I truly try to go disprove my theory before I go breaking it out. So anyway, and you do that well. Well, Carl, I'm going to let you go a little early because I got to talk about Thanksgiving, and I want you to have a great Thanksgiving. You do Thanksgiving, right?
Oh yeah, brother. You know I do.
Yeah,
I'm a thankful guy.
Yeah, amen. Well, it's actually my favorite holiday of the year because it's one that I don't. There's so many different views of politically correctness and all these different things out there. It is one holiday that I'm able to give back to the people and give them a family Thanksgiving and you know, embrace it. And I don't get a lot of guff from anybody over it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, really love the holiday. And it's great to thank our Father for everything that he's given us all year.
Amen.
But anyway, Carl, I promise next time we'll get some more into your book. But I'm going to have to let you go, brother.
Okay.
Thanks for being on.
That's fine. And, brother, I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me be on tonight. Love you, man. Love your audience. God bless you.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallatz. And, you know, go look up at his book. Get his book, God's a Grand Zero. It's really a pretty explosive book. It's got some explosive things in it. Well, today it seemed like the devil wanted to stop this program. It took us a little bit to get into it, but we got it all going. We appreciate Pastor Carl. Folks, don't be worried about the election. You know, the point is he is still in control. Yeshua HaMashiach and his daddy. Our Father, Yahweh, is in control of it all. And we need to thank him this year. Thanksgiving, make sure you thank him. There's nothing wrong with a tradition in which Thanksgiving is. A tradition that isn't contrary to Scripture. And there's nothing against having a day to thank our Father for everything that he's given us. At the Wichita Mission Church, we give back. We do 2 days. We do Thanksgiving and the day after. People get to come through the line and get everything that they want and have a good fellowship and everything. It's just a real blessing. But we need your help in order to make it happen. So we need your help for Thanksgiving. And we also, you know, if you don't want to donate to the homeless and poor, we need you to donate to Radio Airtime. I've got people out there that have been listening to me for 15 years. People listen, and they listen worldwide. So pray about supporting the radio program. If you make a donation for radio, make sure you say it's for radio. And if it's a donation for Thanksgiving, make sure you say it's for Thanksgiving. Otherwise, the donations, they still go into the ministry. They go to the whatever is needed the most when that donation comes in. And pray about our heating situation over here. I mentioned in the last program our heating unit went out in the office here. I've got some kind of little heater against me and it's snowing outside. That isn't going to work. So pray we get that fixed. But you can donate online or over the phone or mail a check or money order. And you can find all the information you need at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And the Father, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. In the meantime, you must always remember that there is only one God, only one Yahweh. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. If nothing else, it doesn't matter if it's the time of day, be a blessing to others. We'll see you, folks. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.